Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bible passage is Psalm 8 that was just read. It begins, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now that's not a question, how majestic. It's not even a simple little statement with a period at the end. It has an exclamation point. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth and your glory above the heavens. How majestic. We can ask that as a question, though. How majestic is our Lord? Why don't you take a look at a number? This is a septillion. It has 24 zeros after it. When astronomers look into the sky with the most powerful telescopes and begin to count the stars, the calculations go something like this. They take a look at our galaxy, the Milky Way, and calculate approximately 400 billion stars in an average-sized galaxy like ours. And then they take a look at how many galaxies there are in the universe that they can see through these telescopes, comes up to maybe like 160, 180 billion. So you times those two together and you get a septillion, 1 to the 24th stars. That's a big number. How majestic is our Lord above all the earth, above all the heavens and all the universe. How majestic is our God? A septillion stars, and he's created them all. It leads King David in Psalm 8 to ask a question. What is man that you are mindful of us? Taking a look at the immensity of the universe. Now, he didn't have telescopes like we do, but he was able to see pretty clearly that he is so little compared to the rest of creation. Who am I? Why would you even notice me, God? Who are you? Who am I that God would even notice us? The universe is immense. We're no more than a speck, teeny, teeny little speck at that. You take all the people who have ever lived, billions and billions of people, put them into a great big bucket, and all you still have is a minuscule microscopic dot on a small planet in an average-sized galaxy tucked away in the corner of the universe. Who are we, God, that you would even pay attention to us? Why would you notice us? But he does. He does. When David in Psalm 8 describes how God has made his creation, he uses a little figure called fingers. That God's fingers put it all together. Makes me think of Psalm 139. David says that he has been formed in his inward parts by God, that God has knit him together. Fingers knitting David together. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are we. We are knit together by God's fingers when we were at our littlest in our mother's wombs, fearfully and wonderfully made. He notices us. And that's not all. He listens to the praise. In Psalm 8, it talks about out of the mouths of babies and infants. Jesus uses this in the New Testament. He's just cleaned out the temple. The Pharisees are all upset because the children are singing Hosanna to him. And he quotes Psalm 8, out of the mouths of babies and infants will come praise. He listens to the praise of the littlest of us. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I would think most of us have done our first kind of formal praise somewhere in church, perhaps at a Christmas Sunday school program. We all got marched up front, maybe dressed up as little angels or lambs, and somebody gave us the cue and we started to sing "Away in the Manger, No Crib for a Bed, The Little Lord Jesus Lay Down His Head." What comes next? "The stars in the sky, all septillion, look down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay." From the septillion stars to the littlest child in an angel costume, God listens to the praise of his creation. And that's not all. When he fearfully and wonderfully made us, he did so, David said, just a little lower than the heavenly beings. Go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve. We are made in his image. Now, can we say what all that means? Not entirely. But it certainly means that we have been created for a special relationship with him, one where we can think and feel and talk and believe and trust. And he gives us a special task. David says that we have dominion over the sheep and the oxen and the fish and the birds. That doesn't mean we do anything we want to with them. It means that we take care of them. This is God's creation, and we have been placed here to care for it. That is our special task. Take care of God's creation. Put it all together. David asks, who are we that you would even notice us? Well, we are knit together. He notices us even when we are at our littlest. He listens to our praise. We have been created for a special relationship with him and given a special task to take care of his creation. Oh, how majestic is our Lord! Trouble is, we haven't done very well with all of that, with that special relationship, with our praise, with caring for God's creation. Adam and Eve had all of that, but there was one thing they weren't supposed to do. They were made a little lower than the heavenly beings. They were not to try to make themselves like God. The one thing they were forbidden to do, that's what they did. And the world has been a mess and cruel and anything but praise since that. Animals will kill people now. People kill people. Whole species have been wiped out, never to be seen or heard again. Our minds are incredible. We can create some of the most amazing things. We can split the atom. Wonderful sources of energy, and we use it to make bombs to kill people and destroy his creation. We've come up with something called the internet. Where do you think? I found out how many stars there were. I Googled it. And yet what comes through that internet? Pornography and scams and identity theft. Guns threaten, commit crimes, and terrorize students in schools. Tornadoes destroy homes and elementary schools. Nature turns on us as a wildfire kills the firefighters. But it's the children, out of the mouths of babes are to come praise, and that's silenced. You can see it in the pictures of children who are starving to death with vacant looks on their faces, no words to say. Or if there are sounds, it's the sounds of groans as children, average age 10 or 11, are being sold into prostitution around the world. There's the cries of children as they're abused and bullied. And it seems that the littlest of the children, those still formed and knit together in the mother's wombs, are the most unprotected and the most vulnerable of all. Oh, what a mess we've made of this creation God has given us to live in and to take care of, and that special relationship. It's a wonder he pays attention to us at all. But he does. He does, because one star out of the septillion does its work well. One star is given a special task. Wise men needed guidance. One star shone bright, and a child is born. One star out of a septillion shines brightly on Jesus. God does what Adam and Eve did the opposite. They wanted to become like God. God becomes us, one of us. When Jesus is born, he is made a little lower than the angels, it says in Hebrews. Another Christmas song, popular in recent years, puts it this way. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know? Did you know that he would calm a storm with his hand? Do you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And Mary, when you kiss your baby boy, you have kissed the face of God. Think about that. There's Mary. She's looking at her child, the baby Jesus. Perhaps she caresses his cheek with her fingers, or takes her index finger and puts it down around his hand, and he curls his fingers around her index finger. The fingers of God that created all the stars is now curling his fingers around Mary's index finger. He becomes a little lower than angels in order to bring glory to the name Jesus, the one who saves. And he grows up, and look what he does with his fingers. A man with leprosy, an outcast, and he touches the man, and he's whole, whole not just in body but in soul too. A woman is brought to him. She's been caught in adultery. They want to kill her. But Jesus says, the one who doesn't have any sin, you throw the first stone. Well, you hear the stones drop, the thud, not to be thrown, but as they walk away. And all this time, Jesus is using his finger to write something in the ground. We don't know what it is, but we do know what he says to the woman when everybody else is left. Where are your accusers? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that woman leaves forgiven and freed from that life. The man is born blind. He's never seen anything. Jesus spits on the ground, makes a little mud, takes that in his fingers, puts it on the man's eyes, tells him to go and wash. And the man sees. He sees the oxen and the sheep and the birds and the fish and the houses and the people. But he sees more. He sees Jesus, that special relationship of faith and trust and knowledge and love. And it's all there again. Restored. Psalm 8 says, talks about the glory, crowned with glory and honor. Where is Jesus crowned? He's crowned on the cross, thorns in his head, But it is his honoring of what his Father has given him to do, so that when his hands, his fingers go limp on the cross, he has brought forgiveness for our failures, life for our death, hope for our despair, joy for our grief, and peace for this violent world. 3 days later, he is then crowned. Crowned in a resurrection. Can you see? Can you see? He's in the grave. His hands are stiff in death. And then he's alive, and the fingers begin to move back and forth once again. A body that was once broken now receives the praise of the women at the tomb. A body once buried is now alive to appear to Thomas, who says, "My Lord and my God." How majestic is our Lord over all the earth. He has restored us to that special relationship. He listens to our praise. He has knit us in our mother's wombs. And he gives us that special task to care for his creation. Now, I'm not going to go through a whole long list of all the things that we can do. I just want to mention the children. Psalm 8 talks about the children. Pray for the children. Protect them. Feed the children. Build them up so that they can grow strong and care for God's world. Teach them the faith. Take care of the children. And remember, we are all children of God. Amen.